is The Bench. The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell. Dell, did you see that? What was that?
What is going on? Nope. Let's get to the Astros.
I'm just asking
Leave
something.
Leave that one alone.
I don't know what's going on right now. All I know is that the Astros, even if they win these last two games against the Orioles, they're still going to be under 500 this season against Detroit, Texas, and the Orioles, three of the four worst teams in the American League.
But they will have a winning record against the Orioles.
Yeah, no. They will have a win. Yeah, against the Orioles, but they're right. 2-5 against the Tigers.
So mostly it's
they're
Tigers.
2-3 against the Rangers.
Mostly you're saying against Tigers and Rangers.
No, against the they're still. Listen, they shouldn't lose this Orioles team. That should they have won Greinke against Eshelman?
No,
at home.
Greinke wasn't.
You're not supposed to. What were
Greinke
they?
Wasn't
how
eight,
big a favor
they were
like
they last 70. They were 370 to win 100. That's as big as you're going to find it.
Yes, you're not going to find bigger.
And it's not that Greinke's a great pitcher. Greinke's a 3.6 pitcher in a season where offense is down, and you look at you know what I mean. Like Greinke's 3.65 compared to everyone else on this in this rotation is not that great.
Problem is you didn't account for Bielak.
When
you were making these odds.
So I always think about that. How long does your bullpen have to pitch? Now, obviously, the bullpen has not been as big a problem as of late. But if you have a guy like Greinke who is, you know, he has his moments where he'll go into, you know, where he won't be able to get to the fifth inning, or he'll just go five like he did yesterday, five with three runs, which I call an Odorizzi quality start, OQS. When that happens, you are going to have to deal with more bullpen. And it was this time Brooks Taylor gave up a run, and Bielak with just an unbelievably horrific run yesterday, giving up five.
Yeah. Five hits, four runs.
Is that what it ended up being? Three strikeouts.
Bielak gave up, he gave up five runs.
Yeah, he gave the full
four
nut.
Four hits, five runs.
He gave the full nut.
He did get three strikeouts in his inning in the third.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
Congratulations so on that, Bielak. And Andre Scrub made an appearance in the game, which it didn't result in any loss of life or runs. But it was...
he was okay.
Nonetheless, it's horrifying to see Andre Scrub
in
a game.
It only took him 22 pitches to throw an inning. That's all right.
So Bielak and Scrub and Ralph Garza Jr., not the three you want to see. Of course, it's Brooks Taylor, who's, you know, who you... He gave up his run. So
yeah.
The Astros end up losing yesterday 9-7. They rallied in the ninth, tried to do whatever they could, but it just wasn't enough. You know a hot streak is officially over. Astros have lost 2 of 3. You know a hot streak's officially over when Michael Brantley's three out of four now. Oh no, it is 3 out of 4. Yeah. When Michael Brantley is 1 for 6, yeah, the hot streak's officially over.
Yeah. Uncle Mike's come down to earth, but you know what? He's still hitting .344. We got to give Uncle Mike's okay.
No, I'm just I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's when you know the hot streak.
No, this hot streak is officially over. When you go in Detroit over the weekend and you have three games and you score 6 runs, it's over.
It was a good run,
though. It was a nice run. It was a great run. Listen, it's exactly what I feared. Now they're 5-3 in these 8 games. If they win these last two games against, they had Baltimore and Detroit for 10 games. If they go 7-3, you're like, oh, that's okay. That's good. They shouldn't be losing 2 out of 3 over the weekend to Detroit. They just shouldn't. They shouldn't lose any games to Baltimore. But they, you know what? It's baseball. Stuff happens. You got to win these last two games. You go 7-3 against in this 10 game stretch. It's okay. It's good. It's okay. But this little run that they're on right now, It's not good. They were smoking hot. And again, I think they're going to go to Cleveland for 4 after this, and then they come home for the A's and the Yankees, and they'll be up for it. I truly believe that this team, they thrive on that difficulty. They thrive on pressure. They thrive on, you know, and they, you know, I don't know that they get bored. It's just they don't get as up for these games. They just don't. It's not as exciting for them. The crowd was dead last night.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a problem. When the A's come here and the Yankees come here, everybody's going to be excited. It is a Monday in Houston during the school year.
With a lot of rain yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's the school year for summer school kids, for the bad kids. So it's still considered summer school, a school year. But then there was the video of the dude in the Baltimore bullpen.
Yeah, so one of the bullpen pitchers, I didn't see the names. How would I know a Baltimore pitcher?
No one knows any Baltimore.
But he has the Astros broadcast cutaway to, you know, just getting a bullpen shot of the
see
Orioles.
Who's
guys
warming up.
Warming up.
Yeah.
And while they're there, they happen to catch a guy with a blue glove on, like we would have worn during the pandemic when we were, you know, putting gloves on and scrubbing our groceries down with bleach.
Right.
Like he had one of those blue gloves on, and then a white container in his some kind of white tube in his left hand, and he's putting something on the glove, and then he's rubbing the left hand pitcher raises his right arm and he starts carefully putting it underneath the arm, like on the jersey somewhere.
Right.
And then he walks away and everyone starts, you know, laughing. And everyone starts to smile a little bit. Unless that was a joke, unless that was some kind of joke that they were playing, what right off the bat, Jeff Blum goes, he starts laughing. He goes, boy, with today's current, he goes, you hate seeing that with today's current state of affairs in baseball. Meaning it looks just like they got caught.
It looks exactly like it. What was happening. So they're checking your glove. They're checking your hat. So they put a little bit underneath his jersey, underneath his armpit, and so the pitcher will grab his jersey. He'll grab underneath his armpit
to make an adjustment of the sleeve. It looks totally normal.
And he's grabbing some stuff.
Get a little
baseball. Grip. Baseball cannot. It is unbelievable how baseball. It has to cheat. Baseball just has to cheat.
It can't stop.
It can't stop. It's a flagrant. It is habitual. It just can't stop cheating. They're going to find a way in baseball, if they possibly can, to cheat. Now,
it is
that
always
video
been
needs
like that.
To be sent to the commissioner's office, and Baltimore needs to be sanctioned.
Yeah.
That dude in the bullpen with the blue glove on needs to, and he's doing it out there like everybody can see. I mean, I don't know if he knows, but there's. Maybe you do it before the guy gets up. He's sitting on the bench. You get a little rub on him over there. Maybe you guys are playing around and you grab him under his armpit so nobody sees. The pitcher lifts up his arm. He's on the mound. The guy goes over. He's got a blue glove on. He puts a little bit underneath his armpit and then he walks away and he starts laughing and they're laughing. And it's like, guys, I don't know if you heard. They're checking and they don't. You're not supposed to do this. I'm not sure you guys heard. They just don't care. Baseball just doesn't care. It's unbelievable how flagrant and how it just. And wait, I'm outraged and I'm an Astro fan. Okay, I'm outraged.
Well, we are just because it's just, you know.
At least the Astros tried to hide it.
I retweeted it, and this guy's like, you know, the trash cans are still cheating. Are you saying they're not cheating? I'm saying no. I'm saying, and then he's like, I said no. Cheating? No, trash can is too. Take care of all of it at the same time. Don't spare certain people. And he's like, okay, but isn't the investigation of the issue just getting started? Is the opinion that this should have been eradicated first? This should have been eradicated at the exact same time.
Well, what do you mean eradicated? What do you mean when Gaylord Perry was going like this and there's stuff falling off of him?
Well, no, this, I'm not going 40 years ago.
Why
I'm talking
not?
About,
they've been cheating forever.
No, but that was to make, yeah. Right, and they've tried to, but I'm talking about this is a current issue. You know, no one's investigating cork bats either. This is a known current issue. It's known around baseball. It's been baseball's dirty little secret. So take care of that. Did you honestly think this wasn't altering spin rates greatly, which allows for greater breaking balls and sliders and pitches that are harder to hit? I mean, this is the baseball pitcher steroids.
Yeah.
This is a pitcher steroids. And for baseball to ignore it for as long as they have, and then for fans to, well, this is just getting
But the trash cans. This has nothing to do with trash cans. Yes, that was cheating. You know what this is, too? They're both cheating. Stop cheating. Our guys don't cheat. You see our spin rates? You see Greinke giving it up last night? He doesn't cheat. Bielak doesn't cheat. I wish Bielak would cheat. I wish Bielak would cheat. You know what? He's not even trying. Bielak's not even trying.
I just don't think I want any. The Astros can't afford somebody to get caught cheating. They can't.
No, yeah.
You can't afford to have an Astro with something in his hat.
It would be great if he got suspended for 10 games.
No, I just cut him.
No. Well,
no, just RFA him. You don't even have to. Do you really want to embarrass Jim Crane in the organization? Can you imagine how embarrassed Jim Crane would be?
The Seattle Santiago who got suspended.
This would be the lead story ahead of the playoffs in basketball.
The Astros are cheating.
Astros at it again.
Yeah.
Is that's what it would be. Like, it would be a disaster for the Astros to get caught with something in their. You know, if you don't like Bielak, do what smart people do and just designate him for assignment. DFA him, get rid of him, scrub two, and start to bring some bullpen in like we talked about for a long time.
Yeah.
But the Astros cannot afford to get busted.
Why? Taylor Jones, you didn't really need him.
No.
Taylor Jones got sent down to Sugar Land when you get scrub up. And scrub, you know what? If it's between scrub and Bielak, okay. I guess, whatever. You know, get back to the five-man rotation so Luis Garcia can get to the bullpen. And then he can actually help you. Then you got actually that's a guy who can actually pitch in the bullpen. That'd be great. All right, it's 712 ESPN 97.5. We got Paul George to talk about. What about the soccer yesterday? Holy crap. Was that good? I mean, if you had the under, boy, you really don't know anything about soccer yesterday, okay?
Boy, American soccer fans who are just tuning in every once in a while had to be super excited about all the
three.
The shenanigans yesterday.
5-3.
5-3. Then you had that 7-0 run in the middle of the second quarter. You know, in that 65-62 matchup between Croatia and Spain.
I thought you were talking about Vanderbilt versus Miss State. Didn't they go 7 runs in the bottom of the first? What 7-0 run?
There's another 7-0 run. But that was like soccer yesterday.
No, but the top team, well, the defending team, they were considered the favorite, actually, but they haven't really looked very good. The defending World Cup champ with many of their same players lost yesterday.
Mbappe gets stopped.
Switzerland.
Yeah, Switzerland.
Mbappe, the top player on the team, they gave every penalty kick, the Swiss kick, bottom of the net or back of the
France
net.
France is too up until
and
Mbappe.
Here comes France's top guy, and he's just like, well,
it's even more than that. I mean, it's France, the World Cup winner lost in the World Cup. Other World Cup finalists lost Croatia. Now they were lost differently. They came back to tie it late lost to Spain. But yeah, Paul Pogba, you know, if you know him, you know him. If you don't, I'm sorry, you don't know who he is. He scores the goal to make it 3-1. And then his final kick of the match, he gets the ball stolen from him. It goes the other way. And Switzerland scores a tie. I was like, hey, look, that's what Michael Bradley would be like if he was actually good. It was a Michael Bradley play, except Paul Pogba's one of the best in the world, but it happened to him too.
It happens. That's why it's called soccer.
No, that's not why it's called soccer.
I think it is. I'm pretty sure it is.
That's not the reason it's called soccer.
So anyway, taking a break, 713-780-3776. I'm talking about my man, Doc Linville, right now, who is the best. He is... Listen, I cannot say enough for what the doc has done for me. My wife loves it. Everybody's like, what the hell happened to your hair? It was mangy. You had giant holes in it. It was awful. It really was awful with the nine iron divot out of the back of my head. And Doc Linville changed it. He changed my – he can change your life too. If you're really thinning – maybe you're going to get the PRP, maybe, and he can generate growth in your hair. But if you're balding and you have spots, he can change that. He can add hair that will never fall out because it comes out of the back or the side of your head. And listen, the process is easier. It's much better than it was before. I don't know if you ever got cut and they put that hair up there. It was so painful. This process, so much better, so much easier, so much less painful. It is amazing. And in about 7-8 months, all of a sudden you're like, holy cow, I'm getting a full head of hair now. So look, if you're looking for that, if you're tired of being bald, go to 975hair.com. That's 975hair.com.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
It's Mbappe to keep France in the tournament. And Mbappe's the one to falter. He's the fall guy. The walls of the French castle are crumbling down, and after a moment's hesitation to make sure that the referee was not going to intervene, it is sheer Swiss delight. They've knocked the world champions out.
That was Mbappe being stopped. How about the goalie? He's running around. Look at me, look at me. Gave up three goals and then four PKs. Stopped one.
All it takes is one, John.
That's it. And he's the hero.
Well, yeah. The French goalie stopped the penalty in regular time, but didn't stop any in the penalty kick, and the goalie is the hero. You stop Mbappe.
I get it. It's like if you're one for six, but you hit the game-winning homer,
yeah.
Then you know what? Everybody's celebrating you, but guess what? The reason that you...
And by the way, he wasn't the problem on pretty much any of the goals. All the penalties were perfect, and I don't think you could blame him for the other three goals. But that country, Switzerland, hadn't won a knockout round game in a major tournament since 1938. They had always qualified. They can get past group stage, had never won one of these games
before. And I read where this is the first time France has ever not gotten to
the quarterfinals.
The quarters.
Yeah.
Ever.
They're one of the best in the world, and they have been for a long time. And Switzerland has always been solid, but never good enough, and they finally got one.
Do you think that the French... The governing body went about this the right way?
Why don't you tell people why they may have gone about it the wrong way, John?
Well, apparently France says that they were not allowed to have any relations, not even kiss their wives or kids. Nothing. Zero. No contact whatsoever, sexually or otherwise, with anyone during the entire tournament. Do you think the French just said, okay, we got to get out of here. Okay, we got to stop this because I'm going home to get some. I mean, not even your own wife.
Well, yeah.
I can see not picking up, you know, some girl somewhere because you don't know what she got.
Some cleat chaser or something?
Hmm?
Some cleat chaser?
Yeah. So
soccer leads the league in cleat chasing.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, the term wags... From my understanding, that began in England. That's purely a soccer term. Wives and girlfriends.
Yeah.
Let me tell you, they are the equivalent. I don't know. Do we like a star quarterback? I don't even know what the equivalent would be here. They're higher than whatever our highest is.
Yeah, the soccer in their country.
Yeah. In their country, they're higher than anything we have here, higher than a LeBron James in terms of their, well, maybe on that same, maybe the same thing. I don't know, Dell. Do you think it's the same?
I don't know. You saw Varsity Blues. How did those quarterbacks get treated in that small Texas town?
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah. How did, what's his name?
Derek
Jeter. Where
did
Lila Garrity go? Lila Garrity went with that one guy until, you know, he ended up in the wheelchair or whatever.
Well, she was with the starting quarterback. And then yeah.
Where'd Mika Kelly go?
Then she did some stuff with the Riggins.
That's Lila Garrity.
Oh.
Yeah.
She did some stuff with Riggins, too, so.
Yeah, she does stuff.
Yeah.
Quarterbacks have it pretty good in small Texas towns.
I'm sure quarterbacks do quite well.
So they did not engage in any activities from June 11th.
Oh, boy, it really worked.
To June 28th.
Yeah, supposedly.
Is there any chance that they said, okay, we got to get
Well, they
here.
Had a 3-1 lead late in the game. I don't know.
What's more important here?
I don't know.
They
if
gave
it
up the tying
in.
Goal in extra time.
I don't know if it kicked in. Oh, wait a minute. If we win this, that's another a week or so of no sex? Because their next game would have been Saturday. I don't think get kicked in after Paul Pogba's goal. Oh, crap. What did we just do?
Most of the players are in their 20s, and all they have left is to, you know, abstinence does not create tension, but it is a discussed topic. Also, because it becomes complicated, not even being able to kiss, give a kiss or a caress to the loved one. Mm. Yeah. So I think France just said, you know what? We're out of here. Let's lose this game so we can go get some.
Okay. It's one way to think about it.
Well, I mean, can you refute that?
Then why did they leave it late then? Why did they just get blown out 5-0?
You always throw it late, Del. Hey, what are we doing here, guys? They huddled up. What are we doing here, guys? Okay.
They seem pretty excited.
Give it up. Give up a goal.
They seem pretty excited to go up 3-1, and then it all fell apart.
The Suns were excited to go up 3-1, but then last night happened. But then Paul George happened, who's not really Robin. According to Kendrick Perkins. Yeah,
well, he's wrong because look at how he played. Although I will say a bunch of Robins stepped up. Marcus Morris started the game off red hot. He ended up with, I think, 22-23.
What about Boogie?
But Boogie Cousins with a big – this is the second game where he's played, where he's had a big game. He's a guy that you can't count on.
15 points in 11 minutes.
Game in – well, the other day he had, like 11 points in 5 minutes.
What about his free throw, though, at the end?
Yeah, not great, but – when you Boogie Cousins has shown at least twice this series, look, you can't count on him every game. You can't. But every once in a while, he can come in and give you a small spark for a limited amount of time, and that's what he did yesterday. And Marcus Morris got them started off on the right foot. Like, I can't say enough about him. He's been hurt. He was a factor yesterday, and they were isolating him. They realized, we're going to use Marcus Morris and his big body to cause problems against these skinny-ass Suns, because the Suns are a skinny-ass team. But they were bullying Phoenix around in individual matchups. It was a great job by Ty Lue to switch things up, because Marcus Morris has turned into a bit of a corner three guy. Not even just corner three, just a three-point guy. But they went back to saying, okay, let's use his size and frame against a smaller, leaner player, and to great advantage. I mean, he made 6 of his first 7. Only one of them was a three-pointer. And then Reggie Jackson had a good game. As you mentioned, Boogie Cousins had a good game. And Paul George had 41. That's how you went on the road. And this is all despite – it's actually worse than the score would indicate, I would argue. This is despite two monumentally stupid moves by Clippers. One, Pat Beverly – well, one, Pat Beverly got, it was a three-point. He fouled Chris Paul on a three-point shot where he's coming over a pick, and he took Chris's legs out. It looked like he landed pretty rough. Chris makes 3 free throws. Then they get the ball, too, because it was a flagrant 1, and then they make a 2 off that. So it was a 5-point play after being down 9. They cut it to 4, I think it was. Or maybe, it was 9-4. They extended the lead again. Here comes Paul George. It was a made basket by Cam Johnson. And on the free throw, it was a make, but Paul George grabs the defender, I can't remember who it was, that he was blocking out, and throws him to the ground, so they give an extra free throw on that one. They're like, okay, you can't do that. This guy gets a free throw. And they had a chance to turn it into a 4-point play. The free throw was missed. They extended the lead again. But Clippers did some dumb stuff. Like, Paul George almost can't help himself. He's got to do something that potentially sidetracks his own success.
Yeah.
Miss free throws is one. That penalty was so stupid yesterday, that foul, but it didn't matter. I mean, the Suns couldn't put a run together long enough to beat the Clippers, and now we're sitting here at 3-2, and it's a little interesting.
Yeah, it got interesting. We'll see. Here's the deal, though, too. I mean, you called it when Chris Paul was coming back, is that now campaigning's hurt. So
I think
it's a little bit, you know, it's not,
problem.
it's not because, you know, Chris Paul came back and took minutes away. Campaign's
awful
been,
in his last game where he was just firing up from everywhere.
Right. And then he had 4 minutes in the game before. He only had 13 minutes last night, but in the first two games, campaign looked great. The offense was unbelievable, was great. And it seems like they're stalled now. It just seems like they don't have the same. Booker's not the same.
I think that's a problem. Is Booker getting his nose busted, I think, has been a big problem for Booker. He has not played the same.
He's not been the same. He's not been the same. But campaign is not adding anything. And campaign was a vital cog in the first couple of games.
He's a matchup problem. He's a matchup problem for them. They can't keep him in front of them. And then when he settles for outside shots, that's no good. When campaign was getting to the rack in games one and games two, it was a real problem for the – I mean, he had a career high in game two. So I still think Clippers are going to win this. I mean, the Suns are going to win this. But, you know – you just opened the door for the Clippers. And this is a team who has already shown they don't go quietly into that good night this year. Even without Kawhi Leonard, are you going to mess around and end up catching Kawhi Leonard on a game seven? I mean, I think this is ACL.
Well,
I think that's what they talked about.
Remember,
I don't think he'll come back.
Listen, Kawhi.
They don't rule him out, John.
Kawhi is pissed again now at another team's medical staff. So he's out of there. You can guarantee. What are the odds now that. Kawhi comes back to the Clippers because once again he's pissed off. Is the reason he's pissed off is because they're not saying how bad it is, that he's making them look bad, that he's not playing?
No, he can release something if he so chooses.
Yeah, if he so chooses. But I don't, for whatever reason, he's pissed off again at a medical
team.
Where's
his uncle? His uncle can put all this straight.
And I hope you guys tweet at Kawhi or send him a message and wish him a happy birthday today.
It's Frankie's birthday today, too.
She and Kawhi born on the same day.
So she texted me yesterday, and she went to her first Nationals game, and she said, "Dad, I'm sitting three rows right behind the Nationals cage."
Hmm.
And I was like,
"Did she bring a glove?" Like,
no, she didn't bring a glove. She just brought a lot of beer.
Oh, that's surprising.
Yeah. So she was like, "I'm behind their cage," and I said, "Behind their, that's their dugout, baby. That's not a cage.
It's not
They're
a
not
batting
animals.
Cage."
They're not animals.
Well, considering how she treats the help, maybe she does think they're there for her entertainment.
They're just
in a cage.
Here, dance for me now.
Yeah.
730 ESPN 97.5 713-780-3776. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about here. We got some Texans news on the other side right here. Some important Texans news. Don't go anywhere.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Is this a little disrespectful to the Texans? Apparently, Pro Football Focus put out its top 50 NFL players coming into this 2021 season. Zero Texans on the list.
Is that disrespectful? I guess our show's disrespectful.
Do you think Laramie Tunsil shouldn't be on the top 50?
Top 50? I don't know. I mean, I think if you start doing your exercise on it, you know, start putting together your list. Don't say anything about it. Start putting together your list. Watch how fast after just quarterbacks, running backs. Well, watch how fast after quarterbacks and running backs you're already going to be at like 15. That's before you get to corners. That's before you get to wide receivers.
But is he not? He's one of the top five. So how valuable is the left tackle in the NFL?
Well, it's kind of a big
deal.
It's a valuable position. There's a difference between being valuable and being better than somebody else at another position.
Well,
is Stephon Diggs better than him?
Yes.
Just give you an example.
Right.
Okay. So Stephon Diggs is better. Justin Jefferson?
Is he better than Tunsil?
Yeah.
I think that's probably arguable.
Okay.
That's probably arguable.
Based on last year, he's pretty damn
well. It's okay. Do you think that
Trent Williams
is better than Myles Garrett? Do you think so?
Or
Dalvin Cook?
Well, I think they're both better than Tunsil.
Ryan Ramczyk?
Yeah, I think they're all better than Tunsil. So far, every name that you said is better than Tunsil. Cam Jordan, I think Cam Jordan's better than Tunsil.
Allen Robinson?
But I think we're
Allen Robinson?
No, I'll put Tunsil
okay,
ahead
he's,
of
Okay, he's way up there. Bryce Callahan?
Oh, Bryce Callahan ahead of Tunsil?
Yeah.
I must be down on Bryce Callahan. They're probably using a bunch of...
Johnson III.
Wait, whose list is this? Is this PFF's?
PFF.
Never mind. They're going off all their own grades.
Terron Armstead.
Okay. I can't do this.
See? So, no, they're being disrespectful. Just
no,
a
but
bit.
I don't think they're disrespectful necessarily. They're going off their own grades. But if you really think about it on every team, we'll throughout the show, we'll put something together because I think you're going to find, you'll be surprised that you're probably going to run into a minimum of 8 wide receivers that you think are better. I mean, I don't think that's even hard. And they have the advantage of scoring touchdowns and offensive linemen.
But I'm talking about at your position where Laremy Tunsil is one of the best left tackles in the league.
Yeah, he's in the top 5 for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
They've got Zach Martin ahead of him. They got Zach Martin 13th in the league as far as
Zach Martin is really good.
Is really good.
Okay. He was hurt last year, but he's really, really good.
But interior is he's 13.
I don't think anyone would argue.
Tunsil's not even at 50.
Well, I mean, like I said, I'm not worried about it. Zach Martin's better than Tunsil. I would say Trent Williams is better than Tunsil. I don't know how much. I think Ryan Ramczyk is too. Ramczyk is just rock solid.
When healthy, who's the Ravens tackle?
Oh, Ronnie Stanley?
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the top 50. No. He's toward the end.
Well, did he get paid more than Tunsil? No.
No,
yeah,
he did not.
Quentin Nelson's in that list, right?
I don't believe he is.
Well, he must be bad then.
He's not a good player if Pro Football Focus doesn't think he is.
Yeah, I don't think most people in the league would agree with that. But
is Tunsil top 5 at his position?
He's probably right in that neighborhood.
So if he's top 5 at his position and you go and how many positions exist,
well,
there's a chance he's not a top 50 player.
Yeah, there's lots of positions.
No, there's that chance.
It's more than when you start to factor in how many players there that you're talking about. I mean, just starters in the league, 22 starters times 32 teams.
Armstead and Stanley ahead of him, Ramczyk ahead of him. Okay, I get it. I get that.
Are you talking about Eric Armstead?
Teron.
Why am I blanking out on Teron Armstrong? Oh, the tackle from the Saints.
Yeah.
Yeah, Teron Armstrong's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm telling you, I don't think it's crazy. On surface, I'd say, wait, what? But then when you really start to factor it in, I think there's a lot of, you know, there's just a lot of teams to get through. I mean, the Ravens, would you say Lamar Jackson is?
Lamar Jackson is, yes. Is Lamar Jackson? A football guy says,
I don't know that.
A football guy says PFF is BS.
Well, football guys don't like PFF. Look, I like the stats. I like the stuff that their grades. I don't pay attention to their grades. I look at the grades, the PFF grades, because I have that tied to my film system.
Oh, Quentin Nelson is 4th overall. I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah, I was about to say. Yeah. But the PFF's.
I'm sorry.
PFF Ultimate, which is what I use. I use it because it has, and the NFL gives us a subscription, and it's tied to game tape. So I can go look at all the drops a wide receiver has. I can go look at all the, you know, missed blocks according to them. And a lot of times it's right there to be charted. It's just a matter of hustling, doing the work. The problem I have is when you have their grades, and especially in college football, and I look at it, and they'll say that some guys are really good pass protector. They have a good grade, and I'll go look at all of his pass protection. It's like, what? Who? Where's the consistency? Who graded this? Or they'll say somebody's bad, or a grade is bad. I'm like, how? Well, I don't understand how the grading scale works if this guy is considered this grade, because that's why it's not consistent at all, and a lot of them don't make a lot of sense. So coaches and teams around the league really don't care for PFF because they're very
–
I mean, look, I like some of the guys there, but as an organization, they have been extraordinarily arrogant. And probably because everyone just called them a bunch of nerds and hit on them, and I think they got really defensive, and now they're almost like it's a middle finger to everybody. But you're in the club now, boys. You're with all 32 teams. You don't have to middle finger everyone anymore.
So they've got Aaron Donald as the best player in football.
Yeah.
And they got Patrick Mahomes 2nd, Travis Kelce 3rd, Quentin Nelson 4th, Devontae Adams 5th, Khalil Mack, Tom Brady, who was not great last year.
They have Khalil Mack still that high.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Bobby Wagner, George Kittle is 9th, Aaron Rodgers is 10th.
And that's with Kittle being hurt all last year.
Yeah, so
man, Aaron Rodgers 10th is kind of a joke. Like right now,
he has
to be in a top 5 easily.
I mean, he was the MVP. He was better than Brady. Why are they putting him?
I'm sure it's based on their grades. Probably based on their grades, but I don't know how they. I don't know how they.
How do you come up with that? Oh, they got Bakhtiari.
I will tell you,
they got Bakhtiari as the first tackle.
You can't say this right now, but I will tell you that Saquon Barkley is going to be a better football player than Quentin Nelson. Just tore up his knee last year. He was out. But based on the strength of everything I've ever seen when he's actually played, I would say he's better. But I do think, I mean, Tunsil is a good player. You could argue top 50 for Laremy Tunsil. Yeah. I don't have a problem. I don't necessarily think it's disrespectful. I just think that offensive linemen are automatically going to have a greater challenge because they don't have data points to lean on. Like, you were trying to give him the benefit of the doubt against Justin Jefferson, but most people wouldn't. Most people, oh, look at the numbers. Justin Jefferson. Well, what's Tunsil's numbers? There are no numbers.
He was a top five pass protector. I don't know about run blocking. He didn't grade out as well, according to Pro Football Focus. But he was a top five pass protector, which is kind of a big deal for a left tackle. So, you know, I don't know how Justin Jefferson blocked on runs. Don't know. Maybe Pro Football Focus knows. I don't. But Justin Jefferson was productive. Absolutely. Laremy Tunsil, though. So now ESPN, for whatever reason, they put out a mock fantasy draft.
Mm-hmm. What do you mean, for whatever
reason? They still
reason?
Have Christian McCaffrey as the number one pick overall. Would you? Dalvin Cook 2, Derrick Henry 3, Kamara, Saquon, Zeke, Jonathan Taylor, Austin Eckler, Travis Kelce, the only non-running back in the top 10, wow. And then Nick Chubb.
I guess we're going RB again, first two rounds.
Yeah, that's it. They do. They are so running back heavy.
Well, because
PPR, they've got 15 out of the top 20 picks running
but
back.
But that's because PPR leagues, which is point per reception, has really skewed it to the three down running back who can get out of the backfield. Like, it's just so skewed in their favor. And that's interesting. You know, Kamara's the guy that always scares me. And these guys that just got paid, a lot of times, Kamara got the contract last year. He didn't get his new money last year in terms of his new contract hadn't started, but he played great last year. He was really good. And then, but now the new contract kicks in. We'll see if he's the same guy. Jonathan Taylor's, I like Jonathan Taylor, and I know they think that he's going to be a beast. But he does have Marlon Mack coming back also, and there's Nyheim Hines, and now Carson Wentz is there. You think they might throw it or have more success throwing the ball? I don't know. It's a running back heavy league. I don't know what I'm going to say.
Where do you think the first Texan came in out of 160 players?
Tunsil round.
Well, no.
Oh.
Yeah, that's right. You don't draft left tackles.
I would say, you know, there is a chance it could be David Johnson. To me, it would be Brandon Cooks. I'll go Brandon Cooks. No, I'll go David Johnson ninth round.
It is Brandon Cooks eighth round.
Okay.
David Johnson top of the ninth.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brandon Cooks 74th pick overall.
I would take Cooks.
David
first.
Johnson 81st pick overall, and they're the only two Texans.
I was trying to predict what they would do. For me, Cooks is more valuable in fantasy football. I really could see a scenario where David Johnson is like a 600-yard rusher and a 250-yard receiver. I mean, I honestly, Mark Ingram could end up taking carries away from him. Lindsey could end up – you could end up having Rex Burkhead take away catches from him. I would stay away from David Johnson.
They've got Tyreek Hill, the first wide receiver taken. Well, this is a draft that they're doing with different guys. So it's not their rankings. It is what order they're picking guys in. They got Devontae Adams being picked second wide receiver. Mm-hmm. That's too scary for me.
Why?
Because I don't know who the quarterback's going to be.
Well, the assumption is Aaron will be.
Well, sure. If Aaron Rodgers is there. You just drafted Devontae Adams.
Right. But do you want to be the guy that passes Devontae Adams and then Aaron Rodgers shows
up?
Well,
I'll tell you this. I'd rather have DK Metcalf right now, not knowing what's going on with Devontae? Aaron Rodgers.
Well, I think you have to project some. But, you know, yeah, it might be worth your time to play it careful. Say, you know what, I'm going to wait. I'll wait till the next round.
If I had to pick right now, I would say, no, I can't. I have no idea. That's a risky pick.
Mm-hmm.
Not knowing that.
Yeah, it is. He does have FU money.
Yeah.
I mean, Aaron could sit out.
He absolutely can.
I don't think he's going to. I think ultimately he comes back or he gets traded, one or the other. But, look, if he gets traded, that's all of a sudden Devontae's still going to get, even with Jordan Love, he's going to get a lot of looks, a lot of touches. I'll bet you his production, fantasy production gets shaved off by 25 to 30%.
Oh, absolutely.
His touchdowns are going to go
absolutely. Down. All right, 744 ESPN 975 713-780-3776. If you want to get in here, you got any thoughts on that? Or
you know how many touchdowns he had last year, Devontae Adams?
How many?
18.
Holy crap.
More than a touchdown a game.
Wow.
Yeah, if Jordan Love plays, a good year would be 12 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you can shave off a minimum of 25 to 30%.
Yeah. Time to talk right now about my peeps over at Chastang Ford. It's the Ford truck and car place to go. They've got them in stock right now, ready for you. If you're looking for that Ford car or truck, whatever it is, I'm telling you, the F-150, the 2021 F-150 is the nicest truck I've ever been in. If you are looking for a truck, this is the one to get. You can get it how you want it. Order it. Order everything that you want. Get it perfect for you. You don't have to have, oh, I didn't want the sunroof, but that's part of the package. I didn't want the bed line. I didn't want that window in the back. I didn't want that stuff. And you can order it exactly to your specifications. You wait a little while, the Ford truck comes in, and bing, 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 you got what you want. But you can go on the lot right now and pick and choose because they've got them in stock, and there's a lot of places that don't. Hey, you can also order totally online at ChastangFord.com and not have to worry about them adding on. Any other deal, every other dealership is going to want you to come in so that you get that car or truck. And they can add on. If they don't have add-ons, they're not gouging you for as much as possible. That's just not the way they do business at Chastang Ford. That, one of the first things that Patrick Chastang told me is to make sure everybody knows we do not add, no dealer add-ons at Chastang Ford. You're going to love being part of the Chastang family. I do. You will too. All you got to do is go to Chastang Ford or get to 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just 5 minutes from downtown Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I don't think I'm going to touch this one, Art. Did the NFL really send this out? Yeah, huh? The NFL really sent this out?
It's a social media account.
It's their social media account.
Pride Month.
It's your league. Do you want to?
No, I mean, they just sent something about inclusivity, saying football is for everyone.
Football is for everyone. It says football is gay. Football is lesbian. Football is beautiful. Football is queer, live, transgender, power, tough, bisexual, strong, freedom, American, accepting, everything. Football is everything. And for everyone. The NFL. You're trying too hard, NFL. You're really trying too hard. I mean,
I am reading the comments below it.
Stop trying. I mean, you can. Apparently, Bruce Smith said there was at least one gay player on his Buffalo teams in the 90s.
There was that he knew about or that everyone knew about?
Well, what did he say? That he just said there's. We had at least one guy.
Yeah. No, I think you'd find the NFL players won't say anything, but there's more players in the league that other guys in the league know about.
If he was in Houston during 35-3, I imagine a lot of Houston people were calling Bills gay with different words during that game.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it's safe to say the Oilers had gay players. There's ones that we actually know about.
Yeah.
Other players have talked about it.
Yes.
Like I said, it's been a not secret, I guess, for a long time. But it was a different time in the 80s. We talked about this one time. Like, you know, you could see Liberace, and even then guys were closeted, and you would just be like, I don't know on Liberace. I mean, he's ever said he's gay? He's got a wife. Elton John. Like,
I'm not sure.
Honestly,
well, he did marry a woman.
Never come up, yeah. It was a different time in the 80s. You could just,
I don't know.
I mean, to be honest with you,
Paul Lynde,
I don't see it. I just don't see it. I don't think he is. He's never said he is, so why would he be? He's not. But it also wasn't a big deal to us either.
No,
like it wasn't. I know everyone wants to act like everything is about angry homophobia all the time. But it really wasn't for us as our kids in Richmond Rosenberg listening to dance music by Erasure and Dead or Alive. People putting on eyeliner, like eye makeup. That's also kind of a dance scene, yeah. like it was club scene thing, but it wasn't. It wasn't as if people don't know history, they would probably think that racial tensions were have always been strained like this. It wasn't as strained when I grew up. It really wasn't as strained as it is. Like now is the worst that I can personally remember. I wasn't obviously alive during the Selma marches and things like that, but the same thing.
Yeah, that was pretty bad. That was pretty bad.
Yeah, the Selma marches. Yeah.
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 Football is for everyone, .. except Kaepernick.
Well,
yeah. yeah, Kaepernick's been quoted quite a bit in this NFL thing. Stop trying so hard, NFL. Really? Football is gay. Football is lesbian. Football. Stop.
No one goes to the NFL thinking, man, they're really inclusive. Yeah. Look, there's a bunch of great athletes bashing their heads against each other. That's what I'm here for.
But we're at a point where, well, the NFL also has, you know, the NFL is they are trying hard in a lot of, I mean, I'm involved in all the, speaking of that, I think I got a mandatory meeting coming up, but they are trying to quote unquote do the work in a lot of areas. And so, yeah, the messaging is going to be out there and it's, people are going to take some shots. I get it. I mean, all corporations across the board and the biggest corporations, it's not just the NFL. It's everybody is making a statement to show that they're, you know, on the right side of all this, which is, it's fine. It doesn't bother me either way. If you had something great, if you don't have something great, it's not going to kill me. It's the same thing with somebody kneeling during this national anthem. It's not going to kill me. Yeah. Let's get to the game. I'm pissed sometimes because in the media area, back when I used to go to games at the Texans in the media area, it's like you can't go get any of the, you know, like the chicken tenders and stuff. You can't get anything.
This is your crew back in the day?
Yeah, that's my crew.
Boy George, I just don't know. I just can't tell.
That's the thing. We're not sure on Boy George or Vince Clark or Andy. Yeah, yeah, any of these any of the guys. Yeah, Boy George was like, Boy George is a tough one.
Yeah.
Really?
I don't know.
Boy George's like,
a lot of girls go to his concerts and like him.
I'm telling you, yeah. We just don't talk about it now in the 80s, but I'm trying to give you a really, really good hint.
Angel Hernandez is catching it this morning, too. Angel rang
was
up.
Was the whole game bad, or is it just one pitch that was particular?
It's a whole game. If Angel's involved, it's a whole game. He rang up Buster Posey on a pitch that was 4.31 inches. That's a lot in baseball. Outside. Buster's watching it, and Trevor Bauer throws it. It's a slider, too, and the catcher had to go out even further and bring it back in, and Angel rings him up. Is there anyone worse at his job? Is there anyone worse at his job than Angel Hernandez?
We've never seen anybody so universally despised from an umpiring refereeing standpoint. Nobody has, in all the major sports, there's nobody who's not only universally disliked, but it's not like a Joe Buck situation where that's just gained this unbelievable momentum where people just say they hate Joe Buck and that's that. And they can't really tell you, you know, their reasoning seems kind of sometimes a little random. And it's usually because you assume that he hates your team, your particular team. That's usually what it is, like with Bill Walton or whoever. With Angel Hernandez, it's a series of horrific calls. It's
every game he's just terrible.
The most controversial bad calls.
The home run in the Astros game that hit off the fan and fell into the field. Angel Hernandez said no home run, and it was like, you go to the replay and he screws it up from third base. Mm-hmm. He can't even ump third base, which is the easiest base in baseball to ump. He still has to screw the game up. He's unbelievable. I've never seen anyone really that's lasted and is at, you know, at the highest level of his profession that is as bad as Angel Hernandez. It is amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty.
No art. Well, there's stop been
some,
it.
No, don't even read that one.
Well, yeah, wait a minute now. Cal, okay.
What?
He's really bad at his job. I don't know. Owning a team. So, I mean,
what is that?
Cal is really bad at owning a team. So he's in Angel Hernandez's territory.
He's doing that picture because he wants you to put a.
No, I ain't doing that for. Oh. I'm just. He. I just saw Cal's picture, but I'm not. That's not what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is.
No. I'm just talking about who's really bad as we just said as an umpire.
Well, no, basketball, at their job. Period.
I mean, Steve Javy was never considered bad. Sometimes, no. Who's the guy that looks like Montgomery Burns that was the basketball? Dick Pavetta.
Yeah.
People didn't like Pavetta. Okay. But he was.
No,
but
what
nobody,
about the guy that Steve, what's his name?
Not Steve Javy.
No.
Joey Crawford?
No, the guy now that the Rockets can't ever have.
Oh, God. That's the equalizer?
Yeah. What's his name?
Scott Foster.
Yeah.
Scott Foster.
He's not, but he's known as being an equalizer. Not necessarily that he's terrible, although I would argue that he was part of that 33 minutes to play 90 seconds game. But some people will tell you Scott Foster is terrible. I just say Scott Foster is an equalizer. It feels like Scott Foster gets called in when, look, whether it's true or not, I don't believe in vast conspiracy theories, but the Scott Foster is brought in when a series is, you know, when the big team needs to win,
yeah,
or when somebody needs to take care of business.
That was what Joey Crawford did.
That's what the thought is Scott Foster gets the call. Joey Crawford's a mean, mean old cuss. And then you have the ref who got thrown out of the league because he had such incredible beef with Clyde Drexler. Yeah. The league found it was personal, and they're like, okay, we got it.
He never refed again.
Yeah.
Never refed again.
But Angel... Not only continues
Angel's
to ref,
in a different
he sues Major League Baseball for racism because he's not allowed to work.
And
he hasn't worked a World Series game, and
he lost.
They threw the court. They're like, look at all this.
Yeah,
here's what I would have done if I were in the court. It wasn't the Supreme Court. If I were the justice, judge, I would have just said, Angel, come on, dude. Every day you're trending on Twitter, and they have video evidence. You're the worst. Get this out of my court.
Yeah.
I have time for this.
Angel, CJ, no. Can they have a six-man crew for Angel Hernandez's crew and permanently put him on the left field line like they do in the playoffs? Angel was behind home plate for an Astros game last playoffs. Angel was behind home plate. That's how horrible it is to have him on a crew. That's how horrible it is. 758 ESPN 97.5. Someone 3780-3776 to get in here with us. We're just 1 hour in. We got plenty to do. Don't you go anywhere. ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.